there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Hi, and welcome to The Near Post. I am Nick, and today with me in the studio I have Gerald. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good afternoon, Nick, on this fine, warm Canberra afternoon.
Yeah, it's been some fairly warm weather all across the country this week, actually. Unfortunately, though, the one game I did manage to see this weekend, the Mariners vs Newcastle Jets, pouring down with rain the entire time. Can't get any breaks with this weather at the moment. I was up there on Friday on the Central Coast, 40 degrees. Saturday rolls around, 20 degrees, pouring down with rain. It just doesn't make sense at the moment.
Well, there's only one place this weekend where it was really hot, and that was at the Sydney City game. We'll talk about that later.
For one team, at least. Coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news and views concerning the Australian football landscape. First of all, if you'd like to tell us how much you like the show or any comments / criticisms you have, you can contact us on our email, nearpostradio@gmail.com. You can catch the podcast on iTunes under Near Post Football, as well as on the blog, which is nearpost.blogspot.com.
Look forward to your correspondence.
Yeah, well, some of it at least. The spam emails I can deal without. Okay, so just kick off the week. It's been an interesting couple of days of football. Interesting show dedication I've got here. Vince Grella is actually set to make his first professional football appearance since September of 2011, this weekend for Melbourne Heart.
Injury?
Yeah, he's been on and off with injuries. Obviously, he did fall out of favour at Blackburn because I believe the manager that hired him got sacked a couple times, maybe. Look, he's been a stalwart for the Socceroos for a number of years. I'm not so sure how well he's going to come back from this long spell out, but I wish him all the best.
Well, indeed, he has got someone by the name of Jason Cleaner in front of him as far as long-term injury-threatening career is concerned. So perhaps there's, perhaps he might fight through it, Nick.
Yeah. Got some other news just on the side here. Melbourne Victory has actually managed to poach a young gun from Perth Glory, Jesse Macaroonis, who made his, well, you may know best from the Under-17s World Cup. Alongside Dylan Tombides, has jumped ship from Perth Glory. Obviously, he hasn't been getting much playing time over there. Ian Ferguson's preferred, you know, the elder statesman of Billy Mehmet and Shane Smeltz. And he's come across to Ange Postecoglou's revolution at the Victory.
Yeah, actually interesting that he hasn't hung around, because I'm not quite sure how much Shane Smeltz has got left in him. So clearly he wants to make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, I think Chris Harrold's also ahead of him in the pecking order there. Also, we've just got another couple of interesting things here. So, Celtics finally got a work permit for Tom Rogic. He will be right to play this weekend, I guess, if he really wants to. I'm pretty sure the Scottish Premier League is back this weekend. Not entirely sure who they're playing against, though. Celtic versus someone that they're probably going to beat. That's just how we're going
to
go with things.
Not quite sure how the work permit works, though, just in regard to an Australian. Will obviously be an Australian passport holder, so interesting.
From the UK, I believe it's... Well, what they have in the Premier League is that they have to have played 75% of their national team's matches over the past 2 years, but there are some loopholes around it by... an investor visa, where some foreign players have contributed a certain amount of fees to a certain amount of funds to a local UK business, and they've acquired a visa based on, you know, that fiscal contribution, and then eventually they will have acquired the...
Now you're talking loopholes there,
yes,
Nick.
Lots of loopholes. I think they are trying to close it at the moment, but as it stands, it's still partially open. So I think that's maybe where they have got that opening.
Either way, there's a young Australian that's playing for one of the top sides in Europe.
Yeah. We just had someone sneak in the back here. Clive, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks, Nick. How are you going?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. Okay, just moving on a little bit further here. Karen Bullitt, who burst onto the scene at the Under-20s World Cup just not too long ago, has actually moved from Mladá Boleslav in the Czech Republic to a Turkish Super League side, Akisa Belediyespor. I think I got moderately close with that one.
I would check you with your pronunciation. That sounds good enough for me.
Yeah, I might Google that later to see how exactly one does pronounce that. But look, he hasn't been playing that much in the Czech Republic. He was one of our brightest prospects at that Under-20s World Cup. Hopefully this move will reignite his career.
Yep. Well, one would hope so. I'm assuming, of course, that with a name like that, that he won't have any problems at all with the language. So I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah. Finally, we're just closing up with this one. It's an interesting piece of news we've got here. Obviously, we had confirmation from Frank Lowy that the salary cap would not be increased despite the new broadcast deal. However, the PFA and the FFA are going to try and hash out a new collective bargaining agreement in regards to player salaries, so your minimum, maximum wages, that sort of thing, over the next few months. So we may see an increase. I'm not sure the FFA are willing to budge on that one, though. But, look, we'll see how it goes. I think if the broadcast deal has increased due to the players, they should be entitled to a pay rise. But how much that is, I'm not too sure whether.
Does the collective bargaining agreement actually coincide with the contract, the new contracts for the television deal?
I think it runs out at some point next year. I'm pretty sure it's at the end of next season. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that, Clive?
Oh, I'm just thinking it's a very complex issue, this stuff. I'm kind of worried that maybe a lot of this is going to be too complex for me to analyse. I don't really know what all the issues are, but certainly you can figure out that salary caps are about keeping a level playing field, and I'm not sure whether they succeed in doing that, because there seem to be, as there were in other sports, some backdoor ways of exploiting the salary cap without actually appearing to have breached it. I'd like to know how our A-League clubs do on those sorts of things.
I'm very concerned as to how Sydney are able to do that with the likes of Joel Griffiths, Jason Kolina. Obviously, Del Piero is not part of the salary cap, but then you've got Ryan Grant and all their foreign players fitting into that salary cap as well.
What, you're suggesting there might be another Melbourne Storm? Or
Well, I'm just wondering how you can sign two Socceroos in the middle of the season and not go over your salary cap.
Well, the point is, I think that we're all struggling here. Perhaps there should be more transparency that's actually brought forward. That would certainly help the circumstances.
I'd like to know the kinds of things that are and aren't included in the salary cap, because I know that a lot of that will be about your week-by-week salary and the benefits and so on for the whole season. But I remember what got rugby league into trouble were all these things they did outside the agreement.
Like little sponsorship third-party agreements, like here's a car, just drive it off, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens, I guess. Moving on to the weekend's action now. Kicking off on Friday night, we had Melbourne Heart actually get a win without conceding several goals in the final minutes.
Over
Adelaide United. It was a 2-0 win. Josip Tadic and Richard Garcia scoring early in both halves to give them the win. But yeah, I was very surprised they were able to keep a clean sheet. That's definitely been one of their problems all season, especially with Adelaide United being in, well, fairly good form, I would say.
Anybody who watched the game would have realised that Adelaide actually weren't threatening for most of the time. So I don't know what happened to them in between last week and this week. But certainly looked pretty sharp last week, and this week they look pretty ordinary.
They've been very hot and cold of late. So they'll produce a good game and then they'll be shit the next week and just alternating like that. Which is a bit unfortunate, seeing. Oh, maybe I'm not going to complain too much, seeing as they are trying to catch us at the top of the ladder. But it's a bit worrying from John Cosmina's point of view. Maybe his side is starting to wane after that early start of the campaign.
Oh, look, I think in a couple of months' time, if they keep running hot and cold, I think to be able to sit comfortably at that fifth place would be good enough for them come the end of the season. I think it's now all about just gearing up for those precious little 2 or 3 weeks at the end. And however they get there, I think is irrelevant. They've actually
plus
just
it's about 10 rounds to go, aren't there?
Mm. Yeah.
10 rounds to go, and a lot of the clubs that are kind of panicking they're not going to make it, they're actually gearing up now, and they seem to have increased their performance a little bit on the field, whereas some of the others seem to have assumed it's going to be a shoe-in.
So we'll kick off Saturday's action now, and with a rather impressive performance. It was Sydney FC who absolutely walloped Wellington 7-1 at home. Alessandro Del Piero got 4 goals. It was apparently this news story has circulated all across the globe. Obviously, I'm not really sure how much of it put the A-League in a good light. But look, it was pretty shocking defence from Wellington. Obviously, Del Piero did score quite a few good goals. I'm not too sure the penalty should have been given. But look, 7-1 is a 7-1 win.
Well, I was lucky enough to be there, and I actually enjoyed the entire fixture. I thought Sydney lifted themselves to new levels. I thought Griffiths made a hell of a difference at the front. It certainly galvanised a lot of the forward division of Sydney FC. You're right, Wellington was certainly pretty bad in defence, and they seemed to have laid down. But it was kind of one of those games where everything that Sydney touched turned to gold. I mean, there was some fantastic one-touch moves, finished with curling shots in at the far post, and I mean, the crowd loved it. The crowd thought it was, and the crowd of 12,900, I think it was, something like that. It was pretty ordinary for a Sydney team. It really should be a lot better than that. I dare say it might gee their crowds up a little bit more in the coming weeks if they're going to pull out those kinds of performances.
Mm, yeah, a couple of things. I just got your impression from you then, Nick, that indeed you didn't think it was necessary a good fixture from the point of view that it was actually 7-1. I think I do know that the actual game itself did get some press overseas. Del Piero has never scored 4 goals in the one game in his whole career. So for that to get a mention in international press, I think is yet another way that the A-League actually flies the flag internationally, which I think is a good thing. I think from the point of view of playing, I saw the game only on the television, and totally agree with you, Clive. I think there was some lovely football that was being played.
There was. I think it was a really good advertisement. I don't think actually Wellington's attack was necessarily played out of it as badly as...
There was actually a lot of end-to-end in the first half, but they just didn't have that cutting edge to get it through.
And it just seemed to me their defence was a bit paper-thin. I mean, there seems to be a lot of ball-watching and...
Yeah,
you know, watching beautiful 1-2s while someone curls it into the far post on the end.
And I actually think they've got someone in Griffiths who is actually going to be used really well by Del Piero. He hasn't got the legs in him to do all the running, but clearly the thought's there, and someone like Griffiths who's hungry and fast will be able to use that. So I wouldn't mind betting that there'll be a good half dozen goals for Griffiths come the end of the season now.
I reckon those three prominent players, Kalina and Griffiths and Del Piero, they really look like a different unit. A different unit.
And
but I've got to say, much ignored was, I think, a very solid performance by Ryan Grant, who had a great game.
He's been very solid the last few weeks, actually.
He was really good on the weekend.
Now, what were your thoughts on Emerson?
I thought Emerson had a pretty good game, too. And I mean, you know, when you think about it, and this goes back a little bit to what Nick was hinting at in that kind of Central Coast way that he does about how Sydney can stay under the salary cap. But, you know, they've got a lot of high profile players in the team. And you kind of expect that to be a little bit, you know, other clubs will be looking at it and going, oh, why the hell haven't we got a division like that?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I think credit to Farina. I think his problems will be how they actually keep the goals out the other end. There's one thing about the Sydney City side at the moment, that is they're a bit shaky at the back.
Yeah. They are.
Mm. Oh, attack is the best form of defence, some would like to say.
Yeah. Yes.
Moving on to the second match of Saturday, which is a rather underwhelming performance in my opinion. It was a nil-all draw between the Mariners and the Jets. I was unfortunate enough to be at that game, and I was shocked and appalled at how badly we played. It was horrendous. It was like... We played perfectly fine out from the back, but as soon as it got to the midfield trying to look for someone in the final third, we had no idea what we were doing. And it was just like, oh, I'll just hold the ball up and pass it back. And then we'd try it again, and we'd hold it up and pass it back. And
so I love the way he puts himself in the team.
We did that.
It was very frustrating. I do think we missed the edge of Tom Rogic. He does have that ability to beat a player one-on-one and create an opening for his other players. Michael McGlinchey was probably the closest we got there, but he has a disturbing lack of final product.
Is Rogic going to be a significant miss for the rest of the season?
Most likely. If Abeni goes out the door as well, that is a lot of youthful exuberance and pace missing from our lineup, which... Could affect us towards the end of the season.
Putting a positive spin on it, though, a lot of young guys are going to get an opportunity now.
Yeah, Anthony Caceres did start the game in place of...
How'd he go?
It was all right. I do think that Newcastle put a lot more pressure on him than they did the other midfielders, just to see what his mettle was like, and he did get subbed off with about half an hour to go, from memory. I think he'll grow into the role, but... As it stands, he's probably not quite...
Got 10 games to grow into the role.
Yeah, not quite ready to step into that void as of yet.
And the Jets?
The Jets were really good. I actually didn't notice when Emil Heskey got subbed off. He was a bit anonymous. James Brown was pretty good. He didn't have quite the final touch that he needed. He probably could have gotten a hat-trick if he had composed himself a little bit better.
Has some good dance moves, though.
Yeah, I do think they were very good moving the ball around. They were very quick on the attack. Fortunately enough, though, they didn't have that edge to get that goal.
Hmm, right, okay. What was the crowd, by the way?
It was 11,700, something like that. Apparently,
they're
11,000.
They're pretty solid, though, aren't they?
Okay.
Blue tone.
Yeah, I did think it was a bit closer to 10, but look, 11,000.
Who's going to split hairs over 1,000?
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, when you've got the entire city of Sydney, which could have generated, and I'm only actually just assuming this is the case, less than 25,000 in total.
Yeah.
Then I'd say Gosford does pretty well.
Closing out Saturday, it was Melbourne Victory travelling over to Perth, and it was only a 1-0 win from the Victory, and it was a Scott Jamieson own goal. No Marco Rojas stunners this week, unfortunately.
But he had a few woodworks, didn't he?
Yeah, he's getting pretty good at those sorts of things at the moment. I'm just a bit worried where he's going to go at the end of the season, because his contract actually runs out in the summer. British summer. I'm too used to reading all those transfer stories over there.
Good result, though, for the Victory. Yeah. That's the first time in 3 years that they've actually won over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Perth is always a very difficult place to travel to. Good for them that they keep winning. They've now brought it back to 2 points within Adelaide United.
Sounds like a bit of a dour fixture, though.
Yeah. Perth Glory fixtures are usually like that, unfortunately. But, if you're listening, Paddy. Perth Glory have always been pretty solid. I just think they don't look the same in attack as they did in the last couple of seasons. Shane Smeltz just hasn't seemed to be able to recapture any of his form from recent campaigns.
Their strength, I think, was always going to be playing well at home, and if they don't play well at home, they're going to suffer. They don't travel away at all well. So dropping points to Victory on that weekend, I think, will hit them pretty hard, I think.
The final game on the weekend was a pretty interesting result here. Western Sydney actually scored 2 goals in the space of 4 minutes to get one over Brisbane Roar up at Suncorp. Mitch Nichols opened the scoring in the first half, and then Mark Bridge, of all people, and Yusuf Hersey grabbed the two goals in the second half to win it for Wanderers. They just can't stop winning at the moment. They're playing incredibly well. Fourth place for a team in their first season of the A-League. It's a mind-blowing statistic.
Are they nicking results, though? Or are they actually being well-organised?
They are very well-organised. Mm. The defence is always very solid, and when you've got people with that, just that little bit of X factor up in the midfield, like Ono and Aaron Moy, it just opens up chances, and they've been able to take them.
Mm. Yep, okay. Well, at this time of the year is when the cream starts to come to the top, and as you said, Clive, I think if you're not playing well, you're not going to make those playoff places.
Well, the top four teams have opened up a nice big gap over everybody else, and I can just see it's going to be one of those scrabbling, grasping at straws types of run down to the finals, with all these teams all competing for the same couple of spots.
Yeah.
It's going to allow some of the sides that are actually a little bit more consistent to maybe do a bit of experimentation before the finals.
Yeah. True. I think the FFA would be rubbing their hands together thinking, gosh, let's see if we can get 2 Sydney sides and 2 Melbourne sides to play off in those finals.
Excellent.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, interesting to point out that at the moment, the gap between 4th and 5th is actually bigger than the gap between 5th and last.
Hmm.
That's what I mean.
Which I think is just a good reflection of the competition within the league.
How close the competition is. Yeah. And I've got to say, it still doesn't matter. I've seen results come from those bottom 6 sides against the top 4 that have been pretty good. Well, anything can happen in the last 10 games.
Look, you're right. Three weeks ago, we were all sitting here laughing at Sydney City. Now we can sit here and laugh at Phoenix, but really, they're only a game and a half out of the 6.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm wondering if Mr. Herbert, might lose his job.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very interesting prospect, because obviously he's been their coach since day one, from memory.
Through good times and bad.
Yeah. Mm. It's definitely looking a lot worse now.
I just don't seem to be able to generate any.
The well-round club, though, I'm not quite sure how shaky they would be. I think if it was Sydney, I think you'd certainly be a little worried about your employment. But Herbert, they have stuck through thick and thin with him, Clive. I'm not sure.
He hasn't had the president's support. That's
usually what does it.
No, but I looked a bit upset on the weekend, obviously, and It wasn't terribly demonstrative about it. It just seemed to me the side was were beaten. So
Well, they have a home fixture this weekend. So let's see.
I have looked at their upcoming fixtures, and they've got, I think, out of their final 11 games, 7 of them are at home. So if they can string a few wins over there, they should be able to make a decent charge for the finals.
They got Paul Eiffel back. He's not played since the beginning of December.
They have, and I think he'd make a difference, Clive.
Well, he's a very good player. I mean, he certainly drove a lot of the early results for them, so maybe they'll be in that dogfight for the last couple of spots.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Moving on to next weekend, I guess. Friday night, we've got a top-of-the-table blockbuster, fingers crossed at least. Mariners hosting Adelaide United. Unfortunately, this is on a Friday night, so I'm not too keen about what the crowd's going to be like, because most of the people on the Central Coast do commute to Sydney, so they'll probably just be getting home at the time this game is meant to kick off.
It's not because they're out shopping on Friday nights.
No, late-night shopping is Thursdays on the Central Coast.
Are you commuting up to manage the team on the
unfortunately
evening?
Not. I'll be living vicariously
through
the TV.
You might be on the bench.
I'll be doing the whole microphone thing that Phil Mills had going on last weekend.
That's good.
So, I'm not really sure how well this is going to go for us. They were pretty unimpressive last weekend. Adelaide United, equally unimpressive against Melbourne Heart, fortunately. So I think it's going to be...
I'm hearing a very dour affair.
Yeah, I do believe so. Maybe a 1-1 draw, I'm not...
It's not a wise man that tries to put scores down.
Certainly not something that actually interests me either at the moment, given that it's going to be so... I mean, Arnie's a bit spoily at the moment, I've got to say. He puts teams on, they seem to spoil the other team. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, he's a bit angry at the moment too, isn't he?
He's a bit angry.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Perth Glory host Brisbane Roar on Saturday. Another home game for them. Brisbane Roar, obviously, very unimpressive in that second half against Wanderers. Look, there was actually suggestions during the week that Brisbane Roar should be dismantled and rebuilt winter. I did it again. This was from, I think, Robbie Slater. Obviously, he's not the most reputable source of building teams. But look, obviously, the key players for them over the last couple of years just aren't delivering like they used to, and Eric Pailalu has left. That does vacate a considerable presence in their midfield.
A bit long in the tooth, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Broich is now starting to get a little bit closer to 40 than 30. I mean, he is only 33, but 33 is closer than 32. And Bessar Berisha just hasn't seemed have the same sort of drive.
Broich is playing well, though. Broich is playing pretty well, and Berisha, you know, yours pops up with something.
He's pretty hot and cold this season, though, I think.
But I think that's who he's, like, surrounded by, and maybe what the direction of the team is, what the team tactics are.
Look, I'm a believer. I don't think it's broken, actually, and I don't think it needs a lot of fixing. That they've come off 3 terrific seasons, and indeed, you can't keep that up. From the point of view of the changes they've made, I think they're a well-run club, and I think they probably need to recalibrate things for themselves.
So we're going to use that awkward word of transition season?
You wouldn't use the rebuilding season, would you? I mean, because that's kind of a kiss of death as well. But, I mean, it reminds me a lot of the Melbourne victory under Merrick. Because Merrick had a couple of very strong seasons and basically got the chop when they started not to... perform.
It was mainly the ACL, wasn't it? But the
point is, I mean, Brisbane's in a situation where really it wouldn't take a lot to actually turn them around. The game on the weekend, I thought they looked like they might win that.
They just aren't snatching at their chances a little bit. I really couldn't care less. I always... Brisbane Roar has always really irked me the last few seasons. Seeing them rooted to close to the bottom of the ladder just fills my heart with joy at the moment. The Big Blue, as some people like to call it, the Melbourne Victory versus Sydney FC Derby Extravaganza, Melbourne versus Sydney, all that sort of stuff.
The Game of the Shades of Blue.
Yes, is happening on Saturday down in Melbourne. This is going to be a pretty interesting game. There was quite a few features about Archie Thompson's 5-goal haul against Adelaide United a few seasons back compared to Del Piero's 4-goal haul, which is better, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You being the judge, whatever, whatever.
I think it was a fairly moronic discussion, I'm assuming.
Yes, it was more so just...
Can you compare two games like that? I mean, they were different kind of game anyway.
Yes.
Or two players like that.
So, look, it's a pretty interesting fixture. Obviously, Sydney FC coming off a pretty good win. Melbourne Victory, a win.
Nick, you're the master of understatement.
Yes,
it happens to be the game of the round, and I reckon there might be close to a full house there.
And Victory is pretty consistent at the moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting a pretty good game, I have to say.
I'll be watching.
Yeah.
I think they're the sort of games that the neutrals would love relish, to go and see. Certainly. This is the stuff, yeah. Yeah. And I think probably two good markers for the next 10 weeks to the end of the season. Can Farina keep them together? I think if they get a favourable result, and I'm thinking just a draw there, that continues a momentum for Sydney, I think. And I think, and actually, perhaps the tactical battle between Postecoglou and Farina may be just as good as the individual battles on the field. Interesting to see how they're going to set themselves up and how they might change things if things aren't working during the game. So, look, I think it's a captivating game.
Certainly the Sydney's preparation for Melbourne will be different to the preparation for Wellington.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
So we've got another Sydney versus Melbourne derby on this weekend, and it's I guess we'll call it the Big Red if we want to. Maybe Little Red for starters. Little Red for starters.
Derby number two.
So we got Western Sydney Wanderers hosting Melbourne Heart in Parramatta Stadium. So look, I would really think that Wanderers have got this at home. Their support's been really good the last few weeks, and it's given them that extra edge. Look, Melbourne Heart are really a mixed bag at the moment. They've delivered some pretty good results, and others they've just been absolutely catastrophic.
From an FFA's perspective, who would you want to win?
Well, Western Sydney would be what the FFA want.
Mm.
I know Melbourne Heart's been flagging a little bit this season in terms of publicity and attendances, that sort of thing, but as long as Wanderers keeps going on strong, I think the league will be far better off than if Melbourne Heart were doing
the
same thing.
They are the league's two youngest teams, aren't they? Yes. Clubs. Yeah.
And Western Sydney and Melbourne Heart are adjacent on the table, and yet that's a misleading thing because there's a lot of points
momentum
between them. And I mean, Heart's form's not been anything like Western Sydney's, so I'd be saying Western Sydney will steamroll them.
Yep, and I indeed hope it's an excellent game of football.
Me too.
And I hope the Western City get it.
Just a side note, Aaron Moy did score a couple really good goals in the Socceroos matches in the East Asian Cup qualifiers. I don't think he's scored one yet in this A-League season, though, has he?
Set a lot up, though.
No. I was thinking about watching those goals on those tiny little SBS online stream, so I'm just thinking, what would it like to see one of those on the big screen, or at least at a ground in front of a really good crowd, as opposed to, you know, the 2,000 that turned up in Thailand or Hong Kong, wherever they held that tournament.
Yep, and their dog.
Yes. Yeah, well, look, Wanderers, I think, will definitely win this one here. Hopefully, good crowd and, you know, good result. Closing out the
home team.
Yes. Closing out the weekend, we've got Wellington Phoenix hosting Newcastle Jets. Look, it's a difficult fixture for both sides, I think. Newcastle played really well on the weekend. Wellington have really struggled to get results at home this season, which has always been one of their main strengths, unfortunately, for them. So this is where it really starts. They've got three home games in a row now, I believe. So they're going to have to start getting some goals and getting some wins if they want to, you know, not finish bottom of the ladder.
Agree with you. I think it's maybe a marker for both sides. Any one of those two teams get a good thumping this weekend, they might indeed find themselves dwelling down the bottom.
My heart says I would like the Phoenix to get a win at home, but realistically speaking, after the weekend, I couldn't really see that happening. And it's, you know, they've got some great players. They just don't have a lot of consistency and a lot of... they don't gel very well. I'm hoping Paul Eiffel actually manages to achieve something on the weekend.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that there's one player that's capable of doing that would be Paul.
I was just taking a look at their roster, and last season's defence is basically the same as this season. So I'm not really sure what they're doing at the back and how they're doing things differently, but going from there to now, it's just a complete shambles. I don't really get it. So you still got Durante, Sigmund, Musket, Paston in goal. I don't know who plays that other... Lockhead, that's it. Tony Lockhead plays left back. But they've just been really, really, really woeful the whole season in defence. I can't really...
But not as woeful as Sydney.
yes.
But wouldn't you put that at the door of the midfielder? A lot of people like to sort of point to the defensive division and say, well, look, they're leaking goals and it's all their fault, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is a lot of defensive woes come from midfield, people not tracking back, people not marking properly.
Work rates down.
Yeah, if you've got six or eight players attacking four at the back, it makes them look ordinary, doesn't it? So I'd be arguing it's probably the midfield that hasn't got it together, not the backs.
Yeah. It may just be a few too many attacking talents in that midfield. So you've got Fenton, Tyler Boyd, who's supposedly an attacking midfielder. I'm not really sure where he fits. Then you've got Hoisigams, who just kind of floats around that front line. Danny Sanchez as well has been playing the last few games. So look, maybe they're just overcommitting in that attacking third sort of thing. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for this week, though, guys.
Can I get a quick plug-in before you go? It's the women's W League final.
Oh, right, yes. Sydney versus Melbourne.
It's the Big Blue.
In Melbourne.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Excellent. Let's hope they turn it on.
ABC at some point on Sunday, I think it is. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, around then. Anyways, thanks for coming, guys. And if you go into the Near Post, get there first.
There first. The Near Post. Get there first. Don't get there second. Don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.